This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Thursday, April 14, 2022, Maundy Thursday, by Father Jason McCrimmon.
He loved them till the end. Dear Lord, keep the doors of my lips, so I set against thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I'm wondering if any of you have ever had to eat your words after you've said something. I'm not referencing those times in which you were young and said silly things like, I won't be like my parents, but I'm talking about later in life, where he said something with a little bit of hubris, a little bit of pride and spunk, and been so completely and absolutely wrong about it that you felt like you were choking on the words that you had said before. I'm sure you all have. If not, you have not lived long enough or been honest with yourself. If you haven't, please feel free to stay behind, because I can gather some brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ who will tell you just how wrong you are, especially if they spend a couple minutes around you. Where does that usually come from? It comes from our pride. Pride in oneself. Unable to be humbled and thinking you are important. We should be seeing the errors of our ways and vowing to never do such things again. Most of us instead walk through life moving on as if we have never sinned, never admitting our mistakes. 2,000 years ago, the disciples sat in a room and they were witnesses to the single event that was so completely different, so completely out of the norm, it should have erased any whispers of pride within them. They were party to the institution of the Eucharist, and they watched as the God of the universe stooped down to wash their feet. Two acts that perfectly show, display for Christ's disciples what it means to be his disciple, what it means to be his follower. And those demonstrations remain for each of us today if we belong to his church. On this night, we read of the Maundy, or the washing of the feet. And in remembrance of that moment, many churches will mimic what they have read tonight. Chairs will be lined the altar rail, men will be selected to sit in the front, and a priest will come before each man, stooping to wash the foot. The church does this in remembrance of what our Lord Jesus Christ did, remembering how Christ immediately followed the institution of the Eucharist, the giving of himself both body and blood, by stripping down, by tying an apron around his waist, stooping beneath the people who should be his servants, and washing their filthy feet. I want you to think about that for a second. The God of the universe bent down before his servants to wash the filth, to wash the smell and the grime from between their toes and around their feet. Have you ever smelled a dirty foot? Have you ever smelled a stinky shoe in your home? Some of you wives and parents know exactly what I am talking about. The kind that has been in work boots all day long and has sweated in the hot sun, unable to breathe. Or been around teenagers who played in the mud all day and brought those shoes home. I remember a time when I was in the Pacific on a ship. I spent 2 years of my life there. The islands get kind of hot in some places, and it is inhospitable to shoes, to say the least, because most people do not air out their boots, especially on a ship. So they stick them under the beds where you sleep. I will tell you a little known secret. I know of more than one pair of boots that sits on the bottom of the Pacific Ocean because they did not take care of those shoes. And before you feel sorry for them, everybody in the berthing area could smell them. Well, first century feet were worse. They were dusty. They walked in sandals all day, and they had to walk through horse excrement and other things. This was no different. The act of washing was not pleasant, and it is certainly beneath the King of the universe. Jesus Christ's demonstration at that moment was completely different from the actions of a king. This was out of the norm because no monarch would ever do this, whether they were good and just or evil. It is not how the world operates. We live in a world where power and prestige equal authority, where those who are achievers do not degrade themselves before those they consider less than them. But Jesus Christ does not operate that way. He does not operate to the means and ways of this world. And to demonstrate that, he did indeed bend down. He did take the lowliest spot of a slave in a wonderful display of charity and of service. What do his disciples do at that moment? They let him know it. They let him know what he was doing, as if he did not know himself. The reaction of St. Peter would not have been alone in that group. We would all think this was out of the norm and wouldn't feel comfortable with him washing our feet either. No, he states, and I paraphrase, "I will never allow this." But that is antithetical to Jesus' words and what he had taught them over 3 years. And it shows a lack of understanding of his teaching and what he's left for us in the scriptures. It is forgetful of the fact that the first must indeed be last. And in the kingdom of God, where Jesus Christ shows us that we are so very loved by kneeling down and washing us, it gives us a model of how we should live each and every day of our lives. Jesus institutes the Eucharist, and then he demonstrates how those who desire to partake of the Eucharist must live in this world. And when we don't, the admonition of St. Peter serves as our word of warning. A warning that states those who do not do these sorts of things will have no part of me. Now, it is no secret the world is very far from God. Sexual sin, violations of gender roles and reality, divorce, murder of children, flagrant disregard of the Ten Commandments, and a slew of other violations of God's commands would disrespect the worst of any monarch here on this earth, much less the righteous King of Heaven. But what is especially bad is when the bride of the King has acted in the very same ways. Disregard for his Eucharist, flagrant sin, unspeakable evil against children, greed, which is a big one, gossip, which is another big one, arrogance, and most certainly pride. A host of other sins coming from the spouse of this benevolent King. Is there any doubt as to why the world suffers so much, other than we have failed in our own calling? A failure so poignantly summed up in the reaction of St. Peter, and I paraphrase when he says, "That will never happen. You will not do that to me. I am one of yours. I insist I have my own way, that I not be denied no matter how I choose to live." We, the church, have not gotten to that place that I mentioned earlier about eating our words, seeing where we have done wrong, and humbly saying, "I am not worthy even to wash another's foot." We never begin our conversations like that, but we forget that we are part of the very larger bride of Christ, and that pride is the little leaven that will spoil the whole loaf. Instead of being like Daniel when he prayed, "We have sinned, we have committed iniquity," we don't even know the possibilities of our own sin and the effects thereof. We never begin with the posture of kneeling before him, admitting our guilt, and acting like a servant with others. So many of us want the joy of Easter, but we never desire the mandi that precedes it. Now, this word mandi means command, meaning it is not negotiable in this world. It is not something that you like to do, or when you feel like doing, or when somebody strokes your ego. It isn't something we do only when we feel comfortable. You don't just get to wash the feet of your babies and say, "See, I sacrificed for you, Jesus. I washed the ones that I love so much." Come on, that's so very easy. Admit it, most of you parents love your kids. And notice that I said most. But take that undesirable person. Take that broken and that heavy-laden person. Take that one that nobody could stand and wash their feet. Then you will look like Jesus Christ. This is a command for every day of your life. What God did by washing the feet of his disciples was demonstrate for each of us how we are to live in this world. Those who wish to have a part of him, for those who desire the Eucharist, You must demonstrate a willingness to serve and not rule, because the seat to rule rightly belongs to our King, Jesus Christ. His rule states that if there are any are to be great in his kingdom, they have to be a servant. And his authority to rule tells St. Peter and all of us that he has established a new way of living, a way that is characterized by humility, meaning you recognize when you have sinned, by repentance, which means that you kneel before him, and by serving, as he's called each and every one of you to do, and not just serve yourselves. Giving up of yourselves, so we could demonstrate to the world around us what it means to follow Jesus Christ. If we're honest with ourselves, we have defiantly stood up like St. Peter and said, it will not be this way. Not if I have anything to say about it. And the sad thing is, so many of us don't even know it. Now we as a church, we as those who are called the bride of Christ, need to set our face to follow the rest of Peter's words in that example. We need to say, wash me. Wash all of me, wretched man that I am. For I do not deserve to have a part of you, but I cannot live if I cannot have you. So I'll do everything I can to make things right. Maybe then we'll be able to participate in the joy of the resurrection of Easter. Maybe then we will be made new and clean and the world will see it. Maybe then the terrible sin we see throughout the world will start to abate. As I often say, the people of God will sometimes say, God feels so very far from me. Remember, God never changes. It is usually us that have packed up and moved. Return to our Lord Jesus Christ and follow his lead, striving always to be last instead of first.